And you can download programs and watch offline. Go to FarmJournalTV.com now to get the special half-off introductory offer, which gives you unlimited access to all this content with a free 14-day trial subscription and the special price of $49 for a full year. Use code BIGDEAL to get this special rate. Don't miss a minute. Subscribe today at FarmJournalTV.com.
This Father's Day, visit Boot Barn for top quality gifts that pay tribute to the lasting heritage of the West. From handcrafted cowboy boots and American-made felt hats to durable jeans and outdoor gear, our in-store experts can guide you as you shop, assisting with boot sizing and helping you navigate the store so you can find the perfect gift. Share a piece of the American spirit with him this Father's Day. Boot Barn, unwrap the West.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that wasn't your fault, we have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions. They'll tell you if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-931-3030. So if you've been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, call now. Find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-931-3030 to speak with a live person now.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center. May not be available in all states.
You're listening to WRGN, 1430 AM, Durand, Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM at Translator W297CH, Durand.
This is a special report from ABC News. I'm Michelle Franzen. The Maryland man the White House admitted was mistakenly deported to an El Salvador prison 2 months ago is on his way back to the U.S., according to sources familiar with the matter. Kilmar Abrego-Garcia became a flashpoint in the Trump administration's sweeping deportation efforts of alleged gang members. ABC's Catherine Falder says Abrego-Garcia will face criminal charges in the U.S.
We're told by sources that he's on his way back because he is facing criminal charges. He's been indicted by a federal grand jury, an indictment that remains under seal on charges related to human trafficking. So once in the United States, he will face federal criminal charges for allegedly transporting undocumented migrants within the United States. That stems from that 2022 Tennessee Highway Patrol traffic stop where Abrego-Garcia was pulled over for speeding. He was in that car with eight other people who he was transporting.
The Supreme Court upheld a lower court's ruling ordering the Trump administration to facilitate the return of Abrego-Garcia. This is ABC News. Just as summer travel ramps up, a security alert issued for Americans traveling to Mexico, including urging caution when using dating apps. ABC's Matt Rivers is in Mexico City and explains.
The U.S. Embassy here in Mexico saying it, quote, confirms several reports of U.S. citizens being kidnapped by individuals the victims met on dating apps in the Puerto Vallarta and Nuevo Nayarit areas. These are, of course, two very popular spots with tourists along the Mexican Pacific coast. Thankfully, no deaths reported in any of these cases. The embassy saying to stay safe, be cautious when using these apps here, meet in public places, tell a friend what you're doing, and of course, trust your instincts, because if it doesn't feel right, it probably isn't.
Walmart says it's expanding its drone service deliveries to 100 new stores in five cities: Atlanta, Tampa, Orlando, Charlotte, and Houston. The drone deliveries are already available in Dallas and parts of Arkansas. I'm Michelle Franzen, ABC News.
As a fan, you know all the important sports cliches. And when you save money by bundling your home and auto with Progressive, you can get out there and give it 110%, even though that's mathematically impossible. And remember, failure is not an option. Well, it's always an option, just not a good one. But you're not worried, because you've got ice in your veins. You're on fire. How can both of those things be true at the same time? Well, that's between you and your doctor. So get out there and leave it all on the field. Leave what? Who cares? Just leave it and save with a bundle from Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers. Not available in all states or situations.
This Father's Day, help Dad be all he can be with a gift from the Home Depot. Because he's not just Dad, he's the handyman of the house. The plumber in a pinch. And the emergency mechanic. Upgrade his gear this Father's Day with the Husky Mechanics 270-piece tool set from the Home Depot. Now on special buy for $119, a $695 value. For every kind of dad, find the perfect gift this Father's Day at the Home Depot.
Wisconsin Radio Network News, I'm Ted Ayland. At the Capitol, budget negotiations between Governor Tony Evers and Republican leaders have broken down, but Joint Finance Committee co-chair Representative Mark Bourne remains optimistic.
I think we can still accomplish the budget in our timeline. It's certainly going to means maybe a few longer meetings, but there's other budget meetings usually get long anyway. Those of you that have been around a while know that. So we think we can still finish the budget on time.
Warren said Republicans broke off negotiations because the Democratic governor demanded spending increases that outpaced tax cuts they wanted. An Evers spokesperson says that's not accurate. Republican lawmakers introduced legislation to increase transparency in hospital pricing. Dr. Nicole Hempkes is owner and medical director of Advocate MD, a direct primary care practice in Madison.
The current experience is that patients do not know the cost of these services until months later when they get their explanation of benefits from their insurance company. So this needs to change.
Legislation would require hospitals to publish clear, accessible pricing information online for both common procedures and the full range of hospital services. The U.S. Supreme Court rules that a Wisconsin charity doesn't have to pay state unemployment taxes.
Thursday's unanimous ruling involves the Catholic Charities Bureau, which argued the state violated the U.S. Constitution's religious freedom guarantee by requiring payment of the tax while exempting other faith-based groups. Wisconsin argued Catholic Charities has paid the tax for decades and isn't exempt because day-to-day operations don't involve religious teachings. Catholic Charities said it's due the exemption because its disability services are motivated by religious beliefs. It appealed a Wisconsin Supreme Court ruling which upheld the state's position to the U.S. Supreme Court. Bob Haig, Wisconsin Radio Network.
You're listening to Wisconsin Radio Network News.
No more mold. No more damage. No more slipping and hurting. Make your ordinary bathroom extraordinary for only $99 per month. New shower, new door, new tub, new wall, new anti-slip technology. BCI Bath and Shower is made in America for the highest quality. First 50 callers save $1,500 on a never-clear glass treated door. BCI Bath and Shower. Interest-free financing options. 800-329-4115. 800-329-4115. 800-329-4115.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Overcast but calm today. Comfortable high temperatures scraping about 70 and rain likely. Maybe some rumbles of thunder this afternoon. Starting the day off tomorrow with partial sunshine, highs will reach the mid-70s. But more scattered showers and some storms could pop up in the afternoon. Grandpa's Barbecue Sauce. Get yours now at grandpasbbqshop.com. It's 73 degrees at our studios.
Farm and Ranch Media. Now, here's your host, Jesse Allen.
And welcome, everyone, to AOA. Mike Adams sitting in again today for Jesse. It's been a fun week. Got a chance to talk with a lot of folks and catch up on a lot of issues. We're going to do more of that today. We are going to be talking later with Dan Hallstrom, the U.S. Meat Export Federation, the latest U.S. meat export numbers. Some mixed news there. We'll go over all of that a little bit later. We'll talk beef industry news in our next segment with Ethan Lane with the National Cattlemen's Beef Association. Later in the program, we're going to talk with former farm broadcaster turned author now, Tom Brand, about his book that is out. So we have a lot to talk about today. We're going to start it off, though, with the markets, and we welcome Don Rose with U.S. Commodities. Don, good to talk with you. Thanks for being with us.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
You know, marketing is a challenge anytime, but when you throw in the uncertainty of tariffs like we're dealing with now, it makes it even more challenging. So how do farmers navigate through this uncertainty in setting marketing plans?
Yeah, you know, I think when you look at it from a marketing standpoint, I think from a producer standpoint, you know, of course you have to market around your profitability, and then actually you have to market around the seasonalities. And we know the seasonalities right now on corn, soybeans, and wheat are down until we get some kind of a weather issue. And by that I mean you've got a lot of competition coming at you from Argentina, about 50% harvested on corn, northern Brazil about 5% harvested on corn. Between those two countries, they export more corn than us. So bottom line, market around the seasonalities with some kind of courage calls in case you get some kind of a change in the weather, Mike.
And those are the norms, right? That happens each year at this time. We know that's going to be the case. Now, the unexpected, that's the tariff situation. What impact are the tariffs having right now?
Well, you're exactly right. You know, where you get beat on seasonalities, if you get a weather problem, or you, which happens about 10% of the time, or whether you get into something unusual. Well, we've got the tariffs going on right now. And what that's really done so far is, while we're trying to decide, you know, what is going to be the tariffs in which country, you know, what we're doing is marching along where these other countries, bottom line, are covering their needs from other countries. So it's not really, but it's kind of one of those that allows other countries, particularly Brazil, to muscle in on some of your demand. So that's the issue. So you like these things, if they're going to be tariffs, to come up, get solved quick, but these are a slow go right now.
Talking with Don Rose with U.S. Commodities. All right, Don, let's be optimistic here. Let's say some big deals come down. If they do announce deals, whether it's with India or Vietnam or whoever it may be, and maybe even something with China, who knows? What's the upside potential here of these?
Well, I think when you see it, I think psychologically it'd be a good big lift. Yesterday, the soybeans, technically held some positions, but also added some risk premium back to the market. By the way, we've taken it out because we've added planting's going pretty decent, weather's favorable. But I think you can see that you would get probably some fund buying, some technical buying in the market. But China, before we get a new tariff deals, in place, we have to they have to first meet the phase one requirement of the Trump administration in the first term, remember. So there's some buying power underneath the market, and if you look at our new crop sales on corn and soybeans, they're very low, almost non-existent compared to last year. So there's upside by buying. And, I think you have to ask yourself, did we take enough risk premium out of the market? Are we at a floor? And can we run into either some positiveness out of tariffs, which you think is probably going to be, before we get this solved, more into the fall than anytime soon?
We've seen that China-South America relationship kind of growing stronger over the last several years. Do you see that changing? Would trade deals maybe slow that down somewhat, more in our favor or not?
Well, I think the real problem is China is getting closer and closer to Brazil all the time. You know, as you know, they're building the largest port in Brazil right now. So, China's funding, ownership, whichever way you want to call it. So I don't think so. I think they're cementing their deal tighter, and the U.S. were kind of, I think what we're going to be left to ultimately in the soybeans is our export pace probably continues to dwindle a bit, and I think our focus is going to be on biofuels, just like ethanol. Remember, ethanol is a huge percentage of our overall demand, and I suspect that's the future for the soybeans also, where our biodiesel aviation fuel is a big growth area.
Any surprises coming out of the size of the that Safrinha corn crop down in South America?
Well, I think the surprise is right now the government's carrying about 130 million metric tons, and some people on the ground could be up to 139 million metric tons. So to put that in perspective, another 300 to 400 million bushels larger than what the government is carrying. Their weather's been favorable. They're starting to harvest. So it's going to get harder to hurt the crop from here forward and the filling phase in the south. So export competition is going to stay with us, I think, going forward. That's a big anchor. We'll see. We're kind of down at some value here short term, we think. But South America, call it Argentina or Brazil, is about 10 to 20 cents cheaper than we are right now today. So easy to see why world buyers are looking at South America.
Looking at our crop here early June, any areas of concern that you are looking at?
Well, there always is some problem someplace in the U.S. We know that year in, year out. It's just, is it bigger than normal? I don't think so. The wet area that we have is down in the Delta area, whether you call it southern Illinois, Ohio, Tennessee, Kentucky. probably about 500,000 acres, so not enough to move the needle. It's going to really come down to what the yield is. Crop ratings next Monday expected to go up on both corn and soybeans. So what we're going to do is watch the crop ratings week by week to see if you think the crop's getting bigger or smaller. If it's getting bigger on the crop size, you know, it's hard to rally. But the June 12th June crop report will be the next one up the bat. And then the June 30th acres, that'll tell us, you know, is the government right with the acres? Do we build acres? Our guess is that we probably build acres, prevent plant probably less than normal.
Usually we're looking at concerns in the Western Corn Belt. Not so much this year.
No, the Western Corn Belt's a little bit off the radar. Saying that, that's partly not quite true because we do have Nebraska is dry. The Dakota's a bit dry. And remember, wheat had a rally because, and the oats market had a rally because it was a dry, droughty conditions in the Canadian prairies. Now, it is true this week they got some rains that kind of slapped the oats back down to reality a bit after they were flying pretty high, overbought conditions.
Yep, we'll keep an eye on that and see what develops there as we move through the summer. Don, good to talk with you. Thanks for the update.
Thank you, Mike, and I hope you and all your listeners have a great weekend. Thank you.
You too. Take care. Don Rose with U.S. Commodities. Up next, we will talk with the Senior Vice President of Government Affairs for the National Cattlemen's Beef Association. Ethan Lane joins us next on AOA.
I'm Emmitt Smith. Pro football and fatherhood have taught me you need the right equipment for what life throws your way, including an opioid emergency. I've lost teammates and loved ones to opioid poisoning. It's the leading cause of accidental death in the U.S. But now I have the power to save a life, and so do you. Lay, spray, stay. Three words to help save someone in need. Lay the person on their back. Use Narcan nasal spray as directed to reverse the effects of an opioid emergency. Dial 911 and stay with them until emergency help arrives. Continue to administer additional doses as needed. An opioid poisoning can happen to anyone, anywhere, anytime. So learn the signs and symptoms of an opioid emergency and always be ready to rescue. Learn more at readytorescue.com.
If you don't have final expense life insurance, this message is for you. LifeCare provides valuable information about whole life insurance to help cover final expenses, medical bills, burial costs, and other final expenses. Enrollment is fast and available to anyone between the ages of 50 and 80. No medical exam, no lengthy questionnaires, and no waiting period. Just answer a few questions and we will do the rest. With the average funeral costing $9,420 and Social Security only paying $255, you need simple peace of mind for you and your whole family. Don't leave behind unpaid expenses. Your premium will never increase. Your policy will have a cash value and a death benefit that can never decrease. To find out how you can get final expense life insurance with a lifetime lock, call 800-260-7322. That's 800-260-7322. 800-260-7322.
June is Dairy Month. Did you know that more than 96% of Wisconsin's dairy farms are family-owned, producing over 30 billion pounds of milk every year? That's nearly 14% of total U.S. milk production. The lure of Wisconsin's picturesque dairy farms, pastures, and rolling hills help make tourism one of the state's top industries. This June Dairy Month message is brought to you by UtterTech. From waterproof bib overalls to cloth towel aprons, UtterTech products can make your life easier on the farm. Find out more. Visit UtterTechInc.com.
UtterTech is celebrating June Dairy Month by donating 1 gallon of milk to area food pantries with every web order. Visit UtterTechInc.com and order your waterproof gear from UtterTech. From waterproof bibbed overalls, aprons, pouches, jackets, and more, UtterTech has the workwear to keep you clean, dry, and working efficiently on the farm. Just machine wash and dry, and your UtterTech working gear is ready to go for the next day. Visit UtterTechInc.com. Place your order, and UtterTech will donate 1 gallon of milk to area food pantries.
America's farmers and ranchers, AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
And welcome back. Jesse will be back with you on Monday. Mike Adams sitting in again today. We're glad to have with us now the Senior Vice President of Government Affairs for the National Cattlemen's Beef Association, Ethan Lane. Ethan, thanks for joining us.
Great to be with you, Mike.
I know you've got a lot going on this week. You've had the Young Cattlemen's Conference there in Washington, D.C. How's that gone?
You know, it was a great week. We are lucky to have a lot of different groups of cattle producers come through over the course of the year, but the YCC conference is special. You know, producers from every state in the country, 9 days on the road together. By the time they get to us in D.C., they are a pretty tight unit usually. This was a really engaged class. They asked lots of questions. I think they had some pretty incredible experiences on the Hill yesterday. One of them was in the room with their senator when the president called. Another got introduced on the Senate floor. So it's always fun to hear those stories of kind of cool experiences they've had in D.C. And I wishing them safe trips home this morning after a great reception and pack auction last night on the roof deck. And I another successful trip in the books.
Let's look at so far in this Trump administration 2.0 from a beef industry standpoint. What do you say? Some good, some concerns? How would you grade it out so far?
You know, I am always going to give a positive grade to an administration that cares what cattle producers think, that asks this industry what's helpful and what's not, that listens to feedback as they implement their agenda. And the Trump administration is doing all of those things and expressing all those things. They're engaged in a number of issues that are important to us. They're working to correct some of the trade issues that we have long voiced concern about. They're continuing to talk about the importance of market access to us. In foreign markets, they've already put points on the board with some of the preliminary details, obviously, of the UK trade deal. We know more to come in that regard. They've been dealing with some challenges that they weren't expecting, like the New World screwworm issue at the southern border. There's been a lot of engagement there. The Secretary Rollins has been out and covered just an incredible amount of ground in a short period of time. The one big beautiful bill contains tremendously important tax provisions that the president has made it clear he's very intent on getting across the finish line. That sums up a large amount of the cattle industry and NCBA's priorities right now on the federal level. So it's awfully hard to be too frustrated with that. I think the growing pains there are that they're trying to do quite a lot at once, and that's to do with the fact that midterms are looming in the very near future. And there's always going to be some stress and some friction when you're trying to do that many major things at the same time. But all in all, it's a pretty pretty exciting time to be in Washington and engaged in these issues.
We're talking with Ethan Lane with the National Cattlemen's Beef Association. So we'll see how this tariff strategy plays out. But as you said, there's been a big focus on trade by this administration. It seemed to me there wasn't much focus on trade in the Biden administration. So this is a big change.
Yeah, they were focused on hiding under their desks for 4 years. And I guess if that is a focus, then they executed that very well. But as far as actual trade movement in the Biden administration, it was incredibly disappointing. Zero action, lots of talk about frameworks. And then sort of toward the end of the administration, weird pronouncements of success on the trade front, despite any actual deliverables. So for all the frustration that I think some folks have had with the way this president has gone about it, he's moving the needle and he's doing some things. And for those of us that tend to be sort of trade bait in these trade deals and industries that are used as a bargaining chip, it's nice to see someone trying to balance the scales for our producers a little bit.
Time will tell. And I know in general, agriculture doesn't like tariffs. But I keep thinking we need to be patient. And I know we can only be patient so long. They're going to have to deliver some results here before long. But I keep thinking back over the years, in agriculture, we've talked about we want free, we want fair, we want balanced trade. But we have not had that. I mean, we pay tariffs and we've had markets restricted to us. At least this is an attempt to break through that.
Well, and you know, look, we don't like tariffs. And I've continued to say this. We can be supportive of the president and continue to say we don't like tariffs. He thinks they're great. We don't, but we understand that this is an important tool for him to use to get to that free trade environment where we have a fair shot, because that's all we need. We have the highest quality beef on planet Earth. All we need is equal access to sell it in foreign markets, and we will succeed. We've been hampered by a huge amount of non-tariff barriers in multiple markets, and this is the first president I remember that's truly talking about that and trying to quantify it. So when we talk about, you know, the threat of a tariff in exchange for talking about these non-tariff barriers, that's speaking right to the cattle industry that is targeted in these foreign countries because we're so good at what we do, right? If we produced a poor product, we wouldn't have these challenges. We produce the best product in the world. And so other countries are highly motivated to keep us out. And so he's using a tool we don't like, but he's using it to achieve some goals that we are very supportive of.
What are you watching most closely in this budget battle, and what's in that bill that you're especially interested in?
You know, the one big beautiful bill, the reconciliation bill, is the vehicle for extending that 2017 Tax Cuts and Jobs Act structure. The bill that came out of the House does that in spades. In particular, advancing the death tax exemption level to $15 million per individual, $30 million per couple, index for inflation, made permanent. That's an enormous shift from the temporary and tenuous environment that we've been operating in since 2017, although we've been grateful to have that additional cushion. This would be a far better situation. Same goes for increases to 199A, securing stepped up basis, ensuring that 100% bonus depreciation and things like that are still available. Beyond that, the work that was done on the House side, on the ag side particularly, in farm bill programs, making sure that some of those priorities, like funding for the animal health provisions, the three-legged stool, full funding for the FMD vaccine bank in Kansas, that we've been seeking since the 2018 farm bill, those are tremendous wins for livestock and the cattle industry. We're going to watch now in the Senate as they go through their process. They have instruction to cut additional. That's going to put some stress on those. The state cost share SNAP component of this bill that came out of the House is obviously going to be difficult for some members of the Senate. We're watching all of that right now to see what that final product that's passable in the Senate is going to look like, and whether that can make it back to the House and pass their final test as well before it goes to the president's desk. So I think all eyes are on that package. Truly, one bill sort of controlling the agenda in Congress right now.
Some environmental issues. What's it been like working with Lee Zeldin at EPA? What's the early return there?
Just a phenomenal experience so far. He has hit the ground running. EPA has been very proactive in talking about where they want to go in deregulation, where they want to go in getting the federal government out of conversations they don't belong in at the local level. And I think that has been a really welcome change from, years of having to constantly look at EPA and worry about what they're doing and wonder what they're up to next. Honestly, Republican administration or Democratic administration, this has been a really positive direction shift in this administration on EPA issues, and one that we've been really pleased with. This might finally be the end of WOTUS. We can maybe finally put that conversation to bed with a rule that keeps the federal government in their own backyard and out of our operations around the country, and hopefully some additional changes on some of these other issues, wastewater issues with small packing plants and some other items that we're watching intently. But across the board, he gets very high marks for the way he has run that agency so far.
What about this administration's approach to government lands? That was a big issue with the Biden administration. They seem to want to take over more and more land.
Yeah, I think that's just sort of at the core of sort of Democratic land management philosophy is the more you gobble up at the federal level, the more you can protect. And I'm making air quotes there when I say that. You know, this administration has a different view. This is also, you know, this is where it's important to remember this is a big tent administration. The coalition that elected the president has a lot of different viewpoints. This is not a lockstep group. And we've seen that on full display with some of the public land conversations. Ryan Zinke from Montana, obviously, was fairly notable in that conversation, talking about the fact that he was not supportive of you know, large-scale return of federal land to the states. You know, that's something the cattle industry and Western ranchers have a strong perspective on as well. You know, when your ranch unit is made up of a small piece of deeded and a large chunk of grazing land, you know, owned by the federal government and managed by you as a rancher, that type of transaction has the potential to really upend the value of your ranching operation. So we're obviously very tuned into that conversation. And you know, a lot of this stems from the overregulation we've seen in previous administrations. You know, frustration, true frustration about that is really bubbling over.
I was going to say, I hear more optimism in your voice now after hearing frustration in your voice in the last administration. Ethan, good to talk with you again.
You too, Mike. Hope you're well.
Ethan Lane, Senior Vice President, Government Affairs for the National Cattlemen's Beef Association. You're listening to AOA.
If your credit card bills have gotten out of hand, call Consolidated Credit now. If the interest rates on your credit cards are so high, it'll take years to get out of debt, call Consolidated Credit now. They've helped over 10 million people. Without destroying your credit, they can reduce your interest rates, lower your total payments up to 50% to get you out of debt fast. For a free consultation, call Consolidated Credit now. The program works.
Call 800-489-9547. 800-489-9547. 800-489-9547.
Consolidated Credit Solutions Incorporated, 5701 West Sunrise Boulevard, Fort Lauderdale, Florida 33313. Licensed by the New York Department of Financial Services and by the Vermont Department of Financial Regulation. Kansas CSO 0019051. Maryland DM 1492. Oregon DM 892. Licensed by the Virginia State Corporation Commission. License number DC83. Service may adversely affect the individual's credit. Non-payment of debt may lead to additional finance charges or collections activity, including legal action. Actual interest rates, length of program, and monthly payment reductions will vary by consumer and creditor. Yours could be higher or lower. Not a loan company. We do not lend money.
Compere Financial helped us get into our forever home.
They helped me expand more than acreage.
And helped our dairy grow for the next generation.
At Compere Financial, we see potential in every plan. Our unique perspective finds solutions to your challenges. And our specially trained financial team guides you every step of the way. Partner with us to make your goals possible. Compere.com. Compere Financial ACA is an equal opportunity lender and equal opportunity provider. NMLS number 619731, copyright 2019, all rights reserved.
Double-digit gains in the milk markets with this WRDN market update. I'm Brian Winnikins. At the Mercantile Exchange, July milk up 26 to 1890, August up 39 to 1940, September up 31 to 1944, October milk up 27 at 1937. Meanwhile, live and feeder cattle markets closed mostly higher as while there was a lot of consolidation in the markets, there wasn't change really in the overall direction of the fundamentals. And cash cattle in Nebraska, $7 higher. Had live and feeder cattle markets higher. Hog markets, meanwhile, mostly higher as well as the futures continue to see outside market support and potential for follow-through demand. June live cattle up $3.40 to $2.26.30. August feeder cattle up $1 to $3.10.15. June hogs up $1.77 to $102.62. Chicago Board of Trade, corn, soybeans, and wheat all were mostly higher as the concerns about the high-pressure ridge developing in the middle of June that would provide dry and warm weather helped to support the market throughout the entire trading session, and there wasn't really any negative news to pressure prices. New crop corn up 1 to 449 and a quarter. New crop beans up 3 and 3 quarters to 1037. July wheat up 9 and a quarter to 554 and 3 quarters. Minneapolis wheat July up 10 to 635 and a quarter. With markets, I'm Brian Winnikins.
Medicare loses about $60 billion annually to fraud, errors, and abuse. June 2nd through the 8th is Medicare Fraud Prevention Week, focusing on the actions everyone can take to prevent, detect, and report Medicare fraud. Learn more by liking and following Wisconsin Senior Medicare Patrol on Facebook. Then visit our website, smpwi.org. For information and advice, remember, Wisconsin Senior Medicare Patrol.
Don't miss it. Don't even be late for the 2025 Northern Wisconsin State Fair, July 9th through the 13th in Chippewa Falls. It's everything you love. Delicious food, wild rides, free attractions, and barnyard favorites. Check out Lion and Kugel's main stage with Montgomery Gentry featuring Eddie Montgomery, Hairball, Flo Rida, and Foreigner. Get your tickets now at NWSFA.com. We'll see you at the fair.
Information America's farmers and ranchers need. AOA. Now, back to Jesse Allen.
And welcome back to AOA. Mike Adams sitting in for Jesse this week. It's been fun. Enjoyed it. And he'll be back with you next week and has a lot of good guests lined up for you again. He does a great job of keeping you up to date on the latest happenings in agriculture, and hope you'll keep tuning in to AOA and the great team here at the American Ag Network. Wanted to take just a quick moment to mention, of course, this is the observance of D-Day, and we remember again the great courage and sacrifice that so many made back 81 years ago to ensure our freedoms. And when I look back over my career, one of the things that stands out that I'm most memorable to me is the opportunity I had to visit Normandy and the D-Day beaches. And I remember especially walking on that Omaha beach and standing there and looking up at the hillsides and where those concrete bunkers are still there, where the Nazis were firing from on our Allied troops, and just thinking about how exposed the troops were as they made that landing, and how they were just open targets there. And it's just their courage and bravery and commitment, just amazing. And we can never be grateful enough, and we just got to make sure we don't forget their great sacrifice and what it has meant. And I just remember walking on that beach and walking through the cemetery there, and it was just so powerful, so moving. You could feel the history in the air. You could just feel it. And something that I will never forget. And we want to certainly salute those who sacrificed so much and did so much for us. And, 81 years, a lot of time has gone by. We got to make sure that each generation doesn't forget and doesn't overlook what these people did for us. And so I think it's important, sometimes, like if it's not on a key anniversary date, like a 67 or 80, sometimes it doesn't get as much attention if it's like 81, but it needs to get the attention from all of us. So we make sure we don't forget, and we teach our younger people, the next generation, the importance of this. All right, we're waiting for Dan Hallstrom. He is going to be joining us here in just a moment. He's been busy this week at World Pork Expo. Dan is president and CEO of the U.S. Meat Export Federation. We have the latest numbers that are out as far as our meat export numbers, and kind of a mixed bag. We see where there are some areas where we are down, and a lot of that is due to higher tariffs. But we also see some areas of growth as well. So hopefully Dan will be able to wrap up. He's on another call right now. If he can wrap that up and join us here in just a moment, we'll be able to go over some of these numbers. In the meantime, I can pass some of the numbers along to you that we'll talk with Dan about if we can get him. April beef exports were down 10% from a year ago. Value fell 8%. Exports to China declined nearly 70% due to higher tariffs and China's failure to renew some plant registrations. Our beef shipments also trended lower to Mexico, Taiwan, and the Middle East. However, some good news here. Those results were partially offset by larger exports to South Korea, Japan, and Central and South America. So for January through April, beef exports were 3% below last year's pace. Value was down just 1%. Okay, so let's look at the pork exports. April pork exports were down 15% from a year ago, and that was the lowest in 10 months. Export value fell 13%. Exports to China declined 35% due in large part, again, to
higher tariffs. Now, the April pork shipments were also lower year over year to our leading market, Mexico, but April 2024 was a record month for exports to Mexico. So even though it's a decline, that not as significant as it might be because it was coming off a record a year earlier. April was another big month for pork exports to Colombia and Central America, both on a record pace. And for January through April, pork exports 5% below last year's record pace, while value fell 4%. And also, April lamb exports were up nearly 50% from a year ago, driven by growth in the Mexican market. January to April exports of lamb increased 31% in volume and 16% in value, and shipments trending higher to Mexico and the Caribbean. So those are the numbers from the U.S. Meat Export Federation. Again, we'll just go over the headlines there again. April beef exports down 10% from a year ago. Value down 8%. April pork exports down 15% from a year ago. And that's the lowest in 10 months. Export value of pork fell 13%. And April lamb exports up nearly 50% from a year ago. And January to April exports increasing 31% for lamb in volume, 16% in value. So those are the latest numbers, and tariffs are indeed having an impact, although we see some markets we are growing in. But these are somewhat challenging times. That's why we hope we're going to be able to get to talk with Dan Hallstrom, President and CEO of U.S. Meat Export Federation. In fact, I think we have him right now. Dan, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
I know you're busy. You got a lot going on. I just went over the numbers and pointing out that even though overall for beef and pork the number's down, there are some bright spots. There are some markets we're doing even better in. So kind of what's your overall assessment of the picture?
Well, I think that the stats for April just reconfirm what we already knew was going to happen. Of course, this is when the disruption with China was going to start to hit the statistics. And no doubt both beef and pork being down significantly for China really comes as no surprise. Mexico was down a bit as well in the case of both, and a little bit of a surprise on pork to do with the way Easter fell. And it's just April just going to be a little bit out of whack in general. However, as you pointed out, you look at the beef side, we have significant growth in some key markets like Japan, Korea, Central America, South America. And in the case of pork, Central America and South America / Colombia were huge numbers. So I think it's a mixed bag. But like I said, China, we expected that. Now, the good news on China, I think a lot of your listeners probably already know this, but the President Trump and President Xi from China had a rather lengthy discussion yesterday. And I think this was a very necessary first step in trying to resolve the differences around this China trade issue and hopefully maybe reinstill some stability back into the market.
I guess it's hard to really forecast what's going to happen until we know a little bit more, or have a little bit more certainty on the tariff situation.
Yeah, I think there's no doubt about that. I mean, our strategy, we've talked about this a lot on the show. Our strategy the last several years is we're always trying to diversify markets, and that's working. I mean, you look at like Central America, we just mentioned that region, huge growth area. Southeast Asia is another one. But let's be honest, that takes time, and the most ideal situation would be to get have two things happen around China for the U.S. beef and pork industries. Number one is to get these tariffs back down to where they were. Now, they've come down a little bit in May, which is good, but they're still well above where they were before. And the other big thing on the beef side is we still do not have these beef plants re-registered on the China website. So these are both items that are very high on USTR and USDA's list. Of course, when you're dealing with China, there's many factors at work. beyond just beef and pork and ag in general, but we're hopeful. I honestly think that we're going in the right direction here. It's just a matter of timing, and I do think in the end we'll get to where we want to be.
A smaller beef herd here in the U.S., some tighter supplies, is that impacting things at all?
Without a doubt. I mean, the positive in this whole thing is that, you know, we got a 365 choice cutout on beef, and we continue to see good demand. Now, part of it's supply-driven, but it's not all supply-driven. Demand is driving a lot of this. And same thing on the pork side. You're at a seasonal high on pork cutout, 106, last I saw. And demand continues to be, you know, this China situation aside, which is not demand related, it's politically related, but demand for the most part in most of these countries continues to be very, very solid.
Yeah, we've seen that domestically as well as these overseas markets, right? Even higher prices, we're still seeing strong demand.
We are, and that's the key. We're talking, our interest, of course, is the international market, but the international and domestic market work together. That's what pushes the cutout higher. That's what eventually pushes the whole supply chain, including live prices, higher. So, everything we're hearing on the domestic side is pretty very solid as well. So this is a good formula.
Did you have a good visit with pork producers this week at World Pork Expo?
Yeah, Expo was fabulous, always is. A good opportunity to come out here. I'm actually still in Des Moines, and it was great to see so much interest and enthusiasm. And I think there's a lot of enthusiasm, not only on the international side, but this domestic campaign that they've rolled out on the demand campaign here recently. A lot of bustle and enthusiasm around that.
Very good. Dan, good to talk with you again. Thanks for being with us.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thank you.
Dan Hallstrom, President and CEO of the U.S. Meat Export Federation. All right, up next, we're going to talk with former farm broadcaster, now author, Tom Brand, about his book, next on AOA.
Hey, wouldn't it be
healthcare your way? I'm nurse practitioner Nikki Gillis from Provisions Health of Durand. At Provisions Health, we provide convenient, affordable, and personalized healthcare services to individuals, families, and businesses in and around our community. From in-person or telehealth, simple acute care visits, DOT, and workplace physicals, and affordable lab testing services without a doctor's order, health and wellness is our priority. Visit Provisions Health, 309 3rd Avenue West, Durand, or online at provisions.health.
Take some extra time shopping the dairy case and enjoy the many things that get their start on dairy farms. If it weren't for milk and butter, how could we enjoy coffee cake and muffins? And without a dollop of sour cream, that beautiful baked potato would be just another spud.
Today and every day, we salute our dairy industry.
Thank you, dairy farmers, for all of your hard work throughout the year. This June Dairy Month salute is being brought to you by Wisconsin Credit Union. We belong to you.
At Wisconsin Credit Union, we're proud to serve our communities and our members. And we're especially proud when they tell us how happy they are to be a member of our credit union. Our uncommon level of service is something that's consistently reflected in the awesome feedback we receive. It also earns us the ranking as one of Wisconsin's best credit unions year after year. But what we're really happy about is earning the loyalty of so many members, which is why we reward them with our membership value pricing loyalty program. With basic, silver, and gold levels. And the higher the MVP status, the greater the benefits, like even higher deposit rates, lower cost loans, and other perks. If you haven't joined us yet, just reach out to learn how easy it is to become a member and qualify for MVP status at Wisconsin Credit Union, where, like our feedback and ratings confirm, you'll always be treated like an MVP. Member eligibility required. Equal opportunity lender. Member NCUA.
Help save lives. An unwanted or unused car in almost any condition. Discover how donating your car can make a lasting impact in the fight against breast cancer. Can there be a world where breast cancer is a thing of the past? That world may be within reach, and your car donation can help us get there.
Simply call 1-800-778-4167. Your donation will support Susan G. Komen's vital work in research, care, community, and action. Your contribution fuels groundbreaking research, supports patients and their families, and raises awareness about prevention and early detection. Donating your unwanted or unused car is simple and fast. We take care of everything, including a free pickup and all the paperwork at your convenience. Call 1-800-778-4167. And the best part? Your donation qualifies for a tax deduction. Remember, your car donation has the power to transform lives, providing hope and healing to those affected by this devastating disease. So why wait? Call 1-800-778-4167. Help accelerate the cure for breast cancer. Your wheels, their hope.
When news happens in agriculture or when the markets are moving, we've got you covered as your trusted voice in agriculture. The team at the American Ag Network has the knowledge and experience to keep you informed on the issues impacting farmers and ranchers. We've got you covered on air, online, and on demand. Find the American Ag Network on your favorite social media platforms and also follow the American Ag Today podcast wherever you get your podcasts. We are the American Ag Network.
Make sure to subscribe to the Market Talk YouTube channel. You can watch our latest interviews with top market analysts in the country, find bonus content, and much more. It's easy. Just go to youtube.com/@MarketTalkAg and hit the subscribe button. Or you can search for Market Talk Ag on YouTube.
Get the latest bonus interviews, exclusive content, and more with the American Ag Today podcast. Just search for American Ag Today and give us a follow wherever you get your podcasts.
We are the keepers of the wild, America's original and most invested conservationists. For more than 80 years, we've been committed to conserving wildlife and the natural landscapes that define our nation. From rugged alpine ridgelines to peaceful tall grass prairies, we've supported the conservation of more than 36 million acres of American wildlands. Our funding has led to cleaner water, fresher air, and improved wildlife habitat. From abundant fish and waterfowl populations to robust deer and elk herds, nothing is more important than maintaining wild spaces for adventurers to explore and wildlife to thrive. We are America's hunters and target shooters, stewards of the American outdoors.
America's hunters and target shooters, along with firearm, ammunition, and archery manufacturers, have invested more than $46 billion to help state fish and wildlife agencies manage and protect wildlife and wild lands across America. For more information, visit OutdoorStewards.org.
Back, Mike Adams sitting in this week for Jesse Allen. He'll be back with you on Monday. Well, I know you've probably heard about this book. I know Jesse's talked with the author of a book we're going to talk about already, but I wanted to kind of do an update with my good friend Tom Brand, former farm broadcaster, former executive director of the National Association of Farm Broadcasting, now working with the St. Joe, Missouri Chamber of Commerce. Little did I know that he was also going to be an author, and so I am very happy to welcome the writer to the show. Tom, good to talk with you. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for the opportunity to be on board again today, Mike.
You know, if the goal of an author is to have a book title that gets people's curiosity up or interest, you have hit a home run already just with the title of your book. Welts on Your Butt, A Calf Could Suck. How did you come up with that title?
You know, this has been a saying that I grew up with. It was something my dad said. And the story that I always tell people is I was young enough that I didn't have a full grasp on the English language. We're in the hog lot. There is a pile of hog panels that were there. And Dad said, keep the hogs off. And I don't think I was doing a very effective job. And he said, now listen, keep the hogs off of there. I'll put welts on your butt. A calf could suck. And I didn't know what a welt was, but I knew this. If it was large enough for a calf to suck it, I sure didn't want it on my backside. And so it made me pay a little bit better attention. And I'll bet you 20 years ago, Mike, I told my dad, if I ever write a book, that's going to be the title of it. And it just seemed like the appropriate title for a collection of stories like this.
And your book is a collection of your experiences growing up on the farm and some of the things that I think a lot of people that have similar backgrounds are going to be able to relate to.
I sure do hope so. In fact, I've told people it's not a memoir. It's just me sharing some stories, some that were covered in dust and locked away in some rooms in my head that I haven't visited for a number of years. But as I started doing the writing, it wasn't necessarily my stories, but it was stories that I felt like people might be able to relate to themselves, that they could say, well, I had a similar experience. My dad used to say this, or I remember doing this as well whenever I played high school football, and I remember this from my college days, and I visited there once. This is my similar experience. So as much as anything, I hope this is an opportunity for folks to be able to revisit some memories in their mind, and not just enjoy it from the perspective of me telling the story, but really from the perspective of digging in their own mind for a few deep-seated memories.
And we're talking with author Tom Brand. Tom, when did you get the idea to write a book?
I've probably had the idea floating around for a number of years. When I was at KFEQ Radio in St. Joseph, I toyed with the idea of putting together a collection of stories. The idea for this book itself, and actually what pushed me forward, was writing a column each week for my home county newspaper, the Nottoway News Leader in Maryville, Missouri. And after I'd done that for a few months, someone said, well, you need to put these into a book someday. And my thought was I'd probably write for a few years before I would do that. And earlier this year, I guess it was just a straw that broke the camel's back, and someone said, when are you going to do your book? And that's how this came about, was, you know what, I might have enough. And so my wife, Beth, and I, we kind of came up with 5 different categories of stories. We took every column that I'd written, some that hadn't been published at that time, and some that probably won't because they're just too lengthy, and started to divide them out into 5 different categories. Found that I had enough for a book, and nearly 60 stories later, after doing the layout, that's how we came up with this.
Also, a story of faith, and I think folks that deal with the challenges of agriculture, life, rural living, can certainly relate to counting on faith, your strong faith. I know, Tom, you and your family, to get through some hard times.
You know, I wanted to be sure and share some of those stories as well. And those are the stories that really resonate with me. Personally, we've had a star on our silo at the farm for nearly 50 years now, and I talk about the importance of that star, not just as the Brands have their star up this year, but what it means to our family, that it's not just a Christmas decoration, but it's being able to share about our faith in a different way, and as a reminder. Earlier this year, I remembered going to a sunrise service for Easter sunrise in the cemetery. And I sat down and penned that piece in a short amount of time just because the words just flowed. I want to be sure that folks also get a little bit of testimony, I guess you could say, in there too. Knowing that faith is an important part of my life and such an important part of so many farm families all across the country.
Sounds like your book's doing well.
It is. I've been tickled. We put it out 3 weeks ago. I've teased, for about a week and a half that it was coming. I've got a website set up. It's richardsonpress.com, and there's a link there where folks can order it off of Amazon, or if they would like to buy directly from me, they can do so there, and I'll sign a copy if they'd like. But we've got nearly 350 copies that are out there right now, and sales are going so well with a couple of the book signings coming up, that I've actually turned to the printer and said, can you run me some more copies? So we'll be getting copies sometime next week or the following week to keep on sending out orders. I'm anticipating that as we get into this Father's Day week, that there's going to be some folks that will say, this might be something Dad would like. So mm-hmm. We want to make sure that we've got enough to fill those orders.
What does your mom think of it?
I did not tell my mom the title of the book until I actually have copies in hand, Mike. Some folks may chuckle at this. I grew up in a household where Mom talked about sitting on our bottom. She did not use the word butt, because that was something you didn't say in polite or even in informal company. And so I don't know that Mom would say that she is necessarily proud, but she definitely understands why the title is in place. She told me that she felt like I did a nice job explaining that. There's probably a few of her friends that she would not tell that story to, but she's okay with it now.
Well, congratulations, my friend. Much success to you. Thanks a lot.
Thank you so much, Mike. Pleasure to be on today.
Author Tom Brand, the book is Welts on Your Butt, A Calf Could Suck. Quite a title. Check it out. Hey, been great to be with you this week. Jesse's back next week. Thanks for joining us on AOA.
You work hard to provide a better life for your family. The only problem is that you now have a tax bill that you can't afford to pay. The IRS is now threatening to garnish your wages and put a levy on your bank account. You can't ignore the IRS. They won't go away on their own. You need help, and you need it now. Give us a call now, and we'll create a plan of action for you that we guarantee will work. Stop the harassing phone calls. Stop the threatening letters. Stop wage garnishments. Stop any bank levies. And most importantly, put an end to your tax nightmare once and for all. If you have a tax debt of $10,000 or more, call the tax pros at United Tax Fix today. Representatives are standing by to assist you. Call 800-337-8179. That's 800-337-8179. 800-337-8179. Call now.
Being blind doesn't always look how others may think. Stargardt disease was supposed to define me.
Retinitis pigmentosa aimed to overwhelm my family.
Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Price varies based on product and subscription plan.
Hey guys, let's talk ED, because millions of men experience it, but not everyone can access or afford treatments like Viagra. Well, Hims can help. Through Hims.com, you can get a full range of treatment options for ED, including daily or as-needed meds, through a 100% online process. It all starts with an online intake form. Get started at Hims.com/joy, and from there, a medical provider licensed in your state will determine if ED treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is shipped to you for free. Find the ED treatment that fits your needs, with options up to 95% less than the brand names. Millions of men experience ED. But Hims can help. To start your free online visit and save up to 95%, go to Hims.com/joy. That's Hims.com/joy for your free online visit. Hims.com/joy.
The entertainment you want, the information you need. Locally owned and operated. We are Real Country. 1430 AM Stereo. WRDN.